Support for this show comes from Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. With Splunk, you get more control with unified security and observability, so you can sidestep those disruptions. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. Some of the world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. We're back. UFC Vegas 19 is in the books and ended emphatically with Derek Lewis. Ferocious, ultra-violent knockout of Curtis Blaydes. Just under 90 seconds in round number two. The man is unbelievable. Put some respect on the Black Beast name, everybody. What a performance that was. Hope you guys enjoyed the card. We had 12 fights and 8 finishes. So there you go. It's a heck of an event. And you guys are all here watching right now. We appreciate that very much. And we want you guys to sort of dictate what we talk about. So leave your questions, your comments, your thoughts on the card in the chat. And we'll get to them in a moment. I am Mike Heck, being joined by the whole crew here. We got Jose Youngs live in Phoenix, Arizona. We got Alex Cayley, the Prince of Positivity in the Great White North. And then we have producer extraordinaire on the ones and twos, E. Casey Lydon, who correctly predicted that Derek Lewis
H-town,
would knock
H-town.
Out Curtis Blaydes.
H-town. Do you feel?
He said fourth round.
I said fourth round.
But still, he did predict it. So, Casey, do you spell vindication? C A S E Y.
E K C.
That was a hell of a pick, man. Big time underdog. I think he closed at a plus 350 when it was all said and done. So if you you laid that money on the dog, you're swimming in dollar bills, y'all. Hey, congratulations to Derek Lewis.
As much as I want to go yay, I did great. I did pick Olenek too, so can't win them all. I won the main
event. Yeah. I did pick that one. I think I was the only one to pick Chris Daukaus, and he did the damn thing. So
he did it.
Jose, we'll begin with you. Your thoughts on the main event, what we saw from the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, tonight?
It started off as I predicted, like Curtis Blaydes would just be the superior fighter. And I think I predicted like a fourth round stoppage. I can't remember if I said submission or TKO or whatever. But I thought Curtis Blaydes looked great until he ran into Derek Lewis's fist, which is just the trend of Derek Lewis's fights, like the Volkov fight. The Roy Nelson fight, the Latifi fight, like it just seems like his opponent's always getting the better of him. And then Derek Lewis just kind of connects with these flurries. And either it's at the very end of the round, because the only way to beat Derek Lewis round and round is basically hold him on the canvas. And then he comes at you difficult to hold down. You spend like 4.5 minutes holding him down. And then he gets up and just hits you as hard as a human being has ever hit a human being for 30 seconds and wins the round. Or he detaches you from your senses. So that happened tonight. Curtis Blaydes looked great, and then Derek Lewis punched him, and then his night ended.
Wild, man. AK, pretty much the trend I kept seeing on Twitter was, wow, Curtis Blaydes won that first round handily, and he didn't use his wrestling at all. You think he got maybe a little too confident in the stand-up game after that first round? Or, you know, I mean, he tried for a takedown. He didn't get it. Landing those leg kicks, they were working to perfection. What did you think of Blaydes' performance early and how it sort of transcended into that second round?
Man, did you guys see that? I was just watching the UFC. Derek Lewis just knocked this guy out. It was crazy. Were you guys watching that? Holy shit.
Maybe we were.
You guys check this UFC stuff is wild. This Derek Lewis guy's crazy. I'm sorry, I'm still reeling from it. Was literally like how removed are we from that KO? It was like maybe 8 minutes, 10 minutes, maybe. Holy, and you know, and it was funny. It's like I'm joking, kind of like how it's not surprising at all. Like, you think we'd be used to this one out? This was his 12th UFC knockout. He is now tied for the record with Vitor Belfort for the most knockouts in UFC history. So not surprising at all. And it's funny, Mike, you mentioned a lot of sort of the comments that are floating on social media, and I was checking on our own results page and MMA Fighting, and we were supposed to be like, man, Blaydes looks great, and what's up with Lewis? Like, Lewis looks a little off. And I'm like, have people never seen a Lewis fight? It would not be a Lewis fight if he did not kind of give up like that first round and kind of make his opponent look a little, you know, maybe more on top of things than they actually are. He's like a great pro wrestler, you know. He's getting the other guy, letting the other guy get some offense, kind of putting him over a bit. And then the big kibosh happens. I mean, that was just amazing. I don't know, Mike, I don't know if I can blame Blaydes' tactics. You know, he's talked a lot about just wanting to rely on his wrestling. He doesn't care if people criticize his wrestling. But I think there's a part of him, too, as a fighter that wants to show other aspects of his game. And he looked good on the feet. He looked good. It's just maybe this was the wrong guy to kind of make – to, you know, play around a bit. He got caught in that shot. It was maybe telegraphed it a little bit too much, and that happened. So I don't know if I want to criticize his game plan, but definitely standing with Derek Lewis for that long is always not a great idea.
Casey, you're a Houston guy, so you have those Houston vibes to you. Maybe it's just in the water, but can you remember a time where Derek Lewis actually said after a win, "I felt great in there. Like, I woke up and I felt like I could beat the world." Yet again tonight, he was just like, didn't feel that great. I felt off in there. Happy I got the win, but I didn't feel that great. I was looking for that one punch, and that was it. Like, what is going to happen when Derek Lewis actually, like, wakes up and feels like he can beat the world when he steps into the octagon?
Well, that ain't Derek Lewis. I mean, that just ain't him, man. Like, oh, man. Dude, real quick, Derek Lewis, guaranteed first ballot future UFC Hall of Famer. That's just to me, that just kind of blows my mind. I don't care. He might never fight for he might never fight for another heavyweight title, but yeah, this is like, it's unreal. Like, he breaks all the norms and it works for him. But you were saying, AK, you were talking about Curtis Blaydes. You know, maybe he got too confident in the stand up, but he lost going back to what he was known for, his wrestling. And I think if Curtis Blaydes was just kind of stay on the outside, throw a bunch of leg kicks and kept jabbing Derek Lewis, I actually think he could have won this fight. I don't know how long that would have lasted for. I don't know how long Derek Lewis would have just kind of sleptwalk his way through that fight. But once Curtis Blaydes shot in, Derek Lewis was like, oh, I trained this. I know this one, you know? So I think from the outside, from boxing range and kickboxing range, Curtis Blaydes was doing actually good, and he won the first round basically with better stand up. And but I think I think Curtis actually just kind of got nervous, and he shot in when he didn't need to, and that's all Derek Lewis needs. That power Derek Lewis can generate in such a small amount of space is just, I don't know, that doesn't make sense. It's great though.
Crazy wild, man. Let me ask you, Jose, AK, you and I will have our answer tomorrow, but I know we're going to get a slew of questions about this. We might as well knock this out right now. What do we do with Derek Lewis, Jose? Because it seems like at the beginning of things, a fight week, when he's doing the media day scrums, Alistair Overeem was at the top of his list. Overeem's coming off a loss, but still there's some value to that fight. So do you think Overeem might be next, or are we shooting a little bit higher at this point? Because he's in kind of the same position Blaydes is in heading in. Like, he's not getting a title shot coming off of this win.
If they make the Overeem fight, I wouldn't blame them, especially because the guy that Overeem just lost to, like Derek Lewis, is already knocked out pretty violently in a similar fashion. Like, he was losing until he just punched the man in the jaw. I would probably wait for the Jairzinho Ciryl Gane fight to go down, and I maybe give him the winner of that if he doesn't get Alistair Overeem, because again, Derek Lewis has asked for Alistair Overeem. Alistair Overeem has asked for Derek Lewis. So if the beef is there and they want two guys that are known and proven to be main event caliber fighters, then why not? That could be another fight. But if they don't want Alistair Overeem to knock off a contender, I get that too. Alistair Overeem's probably not going to fight Curtis Blaydes, so maybe you want to wait for him. For the loser of Jairzinho and Ciryl Gane, maybe rematch Junior Dos Santos. Who knows with that? But if it was up to me, Jose Youngs, I would probably wait for the winner of Jairzinho and Ciryl Gane, just because it's a fresh matchup. Two guys coming off the win. It would be two guys coming off wins, and I think if Derek Lewis, the winner of that fight, between Lewis and Jairzinho and Gane fight, then it just makes sense that the next one would be in line for a title shot, unless John Jones, of course, wants to skip the queue, which I wouldn't blame the UFC.
Yep, and that seems to be the plan at this point. Casey, do you agree with Jose? Give him maybe the winner of Jairzinho versus Ciryl Gane. Do you do Overeem? What do you do with Derek Lewis? Because I don't think there's a wrong answer here.
John Jones. I want to see Derek Lewis, John Jones. That's all I want to see. I don't think the Overeem fight. I don't. He's gonna kill Overeem. I'm sorry. Derek Lewis will put a crushing on Overeem, and I don't like the Overeem that showed up the other night against Volkov. We're not gonna get a better version of that Overeem coming to fight Derek Lewis. He's just gonna be older and more battle worn. I mean, I don't think Derek Lewis needs that fight other than a paycheck to fight Overeem. I really hope John Jones wants to get his feet wet in the heavyweight division before he fights for the title. And I think to do it, I think Derek Lewis is the perfect opponent. I know we're not going to see it because John Jones here. He's only going to fight for the title, but that's the fight I want to see.
Derek Lewis had a much different interview with ESPN Plus. Said he wants Overeem next. Wasn't really willing to throw that name out to Michael Bisping. Said he wanted Stipe, but he was given sort of like three options, and he took the Stipe option. He wants to fight them wrestlers, as you like to say. So big win for Derek Lewis. Scary, scary knockout for Curtis Blaydes. Glad he was on his feet. Obviously was out of it. So I'm glad that he's up and seems to be in at least as good a spirits as you can be. Big win for Yana Kudetskaya in the co-main event. Thought the judges got that right. Eric Cologne, I don't know what freaking fight he was watching, but there you go. Go look at the scorecards for that fight. You know what I'm talking about. Derek Minner, great win over Charles Rosa. Chris Daukaus knocks out Alexei Oleinik in the first round. Phil Haas grinds his way to a majority decision win over Nassourdine Imavov. And then Tom Aspinall, that was one of like the quickest transitions from takedown to submission you will see in the heavyweight division. It was like a matter of 4 seconds. He submits Andrei Arlovsky, and some good wins overall. Jared Gordon gets a win. John Castaneda knocks out Eddie Wineland. That was impressive. Julian Arosa with a flying knee in under a minute to Nate Landwehr. Casey O'Neill, what a debut for her. Ayman Zahabi, holy moly, what a knockout that was. Sergey Spivak does the damn thing in the first fight, and Chris Tyone should be ashamed of himself for letting that fight go on as long as it did. So there you go. That was we're awaiting the bonuses. Any predictions there?
Real quick, Mike, what were you saying about the Kuniskaya? Are you saying Eric Cologne had a weird score? Is that
yes? Did you see that
for Kuniskaya Bier? I'm looking at MMA decisions. He scored a. I see.
It's the rounds.
You know what I mean?
I see the rounds. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, now I got you. Sorry. Oh, yeah, the rounds are – okay, that is weird. Okay.
A bit weird.
He picked the right winner. It's just the wrong way to get there. So I guess. So
he got there was a little confusing.
Yeah, he got there weird, but all right.
Yeah.
I think Mookie Alexander from Bloody Elbow put it perfectly. He said, that's like adding 5 + 3 and showing your work, and it's like not the correct way to do math, but you still ended up with the correct answer. That's how that played out. Yeah, Eric Cologne, Yana Kunitskaya was like mounted the whole first round, and he gave the first round to Kunitskaya and then gave the third round to Kaelin Vieira. It's just wild. There's Esther Lynn's elbow.
Oh. Yes. just one elbow, not all the elbows.
Yeah, not all elbows, just one elbow.
Okay, so we just got the one elbow. Okay.
Touche, touche.
Not all the elbow snipe.
All right, who are we giving bonuses to, Jose?
Oh, Jose, we can't hear you.
As I said in the beginning in our pre-fight Q&A, I predicted that there would be no fight of the night, which I'm standing by. So I'd probably do Derek Lewis, obviously, probably Chris Daukaus, probably Tom Aspinall, and probably Zahabi. Those because, well, no. Well, Rodriguez missed weight, right? So probably Zahabi because that was violent. And then Daukaus, Aspinall, and Derek Lewis were all on the main card, all heavyweight. So, yeah, those are my four picks.
You didn't like the Arosa stoppage?
Nope. I'm completely indifferent on the stoppage. I was personally, even if it was a fine stoppage in case he gave the thumbs up, I would still pick Zahabi.
Yeah, that was a violent knockout. Casey, why the thumbs down on the stoppage on the Arosa fight?
It's just the incredible amount of unevenness we have in stoppages. We saw Sergey's spitback like murder a man for how long? Do we see the man murdered for a round and a half? Almost 2 rounds. We saw a man murdered for 2 rounds, and then Nate, how do you say his last name? Sorry, Nate Landwehr. I mean, he is in the UFC for high action fights. That's how he fights. He's gonna get dropped. He's gonna get up. And I just think that's like, I thought it was a knockdown, and it was fine. He hit the back of the cage. The cage kind of gave him a weird bounce. And I think you let Arosa finish the fight properly, so we don't have those questions. And yeah, I mean, do I believe Arosa was on his way to win that fight? Yeah, but I think. I think it was an early stoppage. That's all. And the fact that we're even talking about it implies, you know, he jumped up and immediately was like, F this. But we saw that there were a couple other standing TKOs tonight, like Olenek, and was there another one? I thought there was another one that, okay, that's a proper stoppage. Like the Olenek one, perfect stoppage. Even though he never got buckled or dropped his knees, you clearly knew he was out. So I just didn't like that stoppage. But, was that the question? I was just still upset with that stoppage.
Well,
It wasn't the worst stoppage. It was just the worst stoppage of the night. How about that?
The only thing is, though, is it's hard to blame the inconsistency because it's different referees, Casey. Both the late stoppages were Chris Tione, right? So Mark Smith can't be blamed because Chris Tione doesn't know what the hell he's doing. All right. I know that's sorry. I hate to come out so hot, Chris Tione, but there was two fights that just a little too long. I'm not sure what he was looking for, which isn't even adding in the Herb Dean, the standing stoppage, which I thought could have stopped earlier. So
what did you call him?
So I don't think.
What did you call him?
I said Herb.
Oh. Herb.
Herb. Herb. Herb.
Like a crumbling herb. Oh wait a minute! No, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that, kids. I think Mark Smith is one of the best guys, probably because. I mean, I know. Ironically, we're talking about him now, but I think most of the times at the end of the night, we are not bringing up his name, and that's kind of why Mark Smith usually stands out. So I only bring him up in this case for illustrative purposes because, I think Tione was a little bit late in some of those stoppages, which made the Arosa one look weird. It's like, how did those ones go on? And Arosa takes one knee. It's kind of unclear how badly hurt he was. There was another little that showed it a little bit, kind of how limp he was. So I think that angle helped things, but. Again, there was inconsistency throughout the night. That's more of a commission issue, I think. I wouldn't blame Mark Smith for that. I was fine with the Landwehr stoppage, even though I thought I wanted Landwehr to win.
And I think Mark Smith is a very good ref. That's all. I don't think you know he's like, fire that guy. You know, I thought Nate had earned a proper ass kicking, not just one knee that kind of dropped him. That's all. Nothing. I'll forget about it tomorrow.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. Digital systems let businesses do incredible things, but they also introduce plenty of potential points of failure. Disruptions can happen anywhere, at any time, and even with a ton of resources, it's not always easy for businesses to connect the dots quickly. But Splunk can help you get more control. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues quickly, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. With Splunk's unified security and observability, you can sidestep those disruptions and keep operations humming. You can detect and investigate incidents faster, get guidance to identify root cause, and understand the impact. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions and build digital resilience with Splunk. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
All right, what are the peeps talking about as we await the announcement of the bonuses?
Are people asking questions, Casey? I don't see any questions.
Eddie Wine has a better mustache than Casey.
I mean, that's very true. I'm sorry.
No. We had this discussion here watching the fights with Miss Elbow. He does the flippy, twisty, you know, like these boxers, or I'm a mixologist, or I'm a barista.
It's called the Raleigh fingers.
Yeah. I'm going for the, you know, 80s dad, you know, I'm going for the, you know, that's my look. So we they're different, they're mustaches, but they're different categories. I'm just saying. So we're not okay. Seahawks fan 91. Me and Eddie are not in competition. Like we are mustache brothers, you know. So it's not a competition, bro. I'm just saying.
There you go.
Was there a question, or were we just talking about
the mustache debate?
All right, question. Sorry.
Maybe some thoughts, some comments. Yeah. There is one question we just got on Twitter. If you want to address that, it's from Luke. At Luke CZE, he said, can you guys please give your takes on the second round of the Haas-Imovov fight? The second round was a clear win by Imovov based on the rule set, damage greater than stalling.
Ooh, let's talk about
that. Did you guys have an issue with the scoring fight?
I scored that fight a draw. I'm very adamant. I think it should have been a draw.
I like draw too. I like the first two rounds for Haas, 10-8 for Imovov in the third. Yeah, I'm kind of with that as well.
Yeah,
If it was Derek Lewis fighting Ilir Latifi in Houston, then yeah, Phil Haas loses that fight. But yeah, I personally scored it a draw.
Yeah. Do we get the first two rounds for Haas and 10-8 for Imovov?
I think so.
Yes.
It almost has to be a 10-8 third for Imovov. But I mean, it was a good test for Haas. I think we said this before the show. Like, this is exactly the kind of opponent he should be fighting. And we kind of saw him put in, I don't know, situations where I don't know if he got to show his strengths, but I guess the fact that he still got away with a win is a good sign. Again, maybe the judging was questionable, but. And also, it showed a lot of his weaknesses. There's a lot of teachable moments in this fight for Phil Haas. So, lucky for him, he got the win. And a draw wouldn't have hurt him that badly either. But either way, yeah, very tough fight for him. Imovov is a really good fighter. And if he maybe just had that extra gear, he could have put Haas away. But that's a lot of backseat coaching right here.
Yeah, but that's those 10 minutes of grinding and some good punches he ate from Haas which made Imovov, I think, unable to get to that extra gear that he needed to get that definitive 10-8 or finish in that third round. But yeah, you know, I was super high, and like coming into this card, I felt there were gonna be two stars. I thought Casey O'Neill would be a star, or at least we'll go, oh, that girl's, I want to see her fight. And I thought Phil Haas would have a breakout performance. Phil Haas didn't quite have the breakout performance, but I think, like AK said, it was a fight he needed. He needed 15 hard minutes. He needed, and because he's had that issue, he's looked great at the beginning. Once he gets tired, He does not take punches well. And all of his losses, for the most part, I feel he's taken, like, as after the first round, after he gets tired, his hands drop, he takes that beating. And he took that beating tonight, but somehow he was able to weather the storm and get the victory. So a good experience for Phil Haas. And yeah. Too bad it wasn't a draw. I feel bad for Imavov.
First time for Haas has ever gone to a decision, win or lose. Never, really? Never gone to a decision before. Oh, okay. So this is big. This is big for him, yeah.
Yeah.
Big for him to go the distance.
All right. Agreed. Questions? Have you guys actually been to
Casey O'Neill delivered a performance. Holy cow.
Yeah. That was great. You caught it, Mike. I think as advertised.
She's an animal. She's an absolute animal. And had that fight gone to a third round, that same pace that she put on would have continued. Like, it wouldn't stop. That's how she fights.
Did that fight end with kind of TKO, ground and pound? There were like 600 fights tonight. Yeah. Sorry, I forget. Okay, yeah. Yeah, and that was a good stoppage, I remember. Yeah, I think I like that.
Definitely a good stoppage.
Oh, before we go to the questions, can we talk about the once-in-a-lifetime fight that happened tonight that we've never seen before in the UFC?
Oh, yes. So if you're one of those folks who just was like, I'm going to wait for the main card to start. We had already lost the fight between Jakar Close and Luis Pena. And then Chaz Skelly is in the octagon getting ready to fight Jamal Emmers. First fight for Chaz Skelly in quite some time. And Jamal Emmers' music plays, I think. And there's no Jamal Emmers. It was like SummerSlam when Sensational Sherry's about to wrestle Sweet Sapphire, and Sapphire just doesn't make the walk to the ring. And we're wondering what's happening. Brendan Fitzgerald gets on the mic, says that Jamal Emmers had some serious back spasms, and Joe Martinez makes the announcement. The fight is canceled. He can't make it. And Chaz Skelly goes to the back. Now, if you have not watched anywhere Chaz Skelly's press conference afterwards, it was amazing. He actually sang Tenacious D's F Her Gently into a live microphone with pizzazz. It was amazing. So kudos to Chaz Skelly. He deserves a performance bonus in my eyes based on that song.
What did I say pre-fight? I said, who's going to have the best post-fight interview? I said, Chaz Skelly. Dude, this guy.
You win.
This guy. Yeah, I know. Everyone, you can crap on me in the comments, man, but I know MMA. I know who's going to give the best post-fight speech. And it's from the guy who didn't fight. That's how good I am at predicting these things.
Yeah, and we definitely got a more subdued Derek Lewis tonight, which, by the way, I'm glad at. I know there's a lot of sort of say the line, Bart, moments with Derek Lewis. You know, we're all like, oh, gosh, I hope he opens up his – but he's not
– Tell me about your balls.
Yeah, oh, say how you – started during the fight. But Derek is a savvy guy with the media, and I'm glad I don't want him becoming a guy who's just a catchphrase. He's so much more than that. He has a lot of thoughts about things. I still think he gave some really good post-fight quotes. You know, he just didn't give like a snappy, like cartoonish one-liner, and that's fine. He shouldn't be. He's not a cartoon character. He's not there to be trotted out and just say some line at the push of a button every time he marches out there. So yes, Chaz Skelly did win, but props to Derek Lewis for just being normal, just being real.
Derek Lewis with the second best line,
being himself, which he always is.
No, Derek Lewis the second best line. I blame you, Herb Dean. Did you hear that when he got knocked out? I blame you, Herb Dean.
Yeah.
Derek Lewis to ESPN Plus, when he called out Overeem, he said, I want Overeem next. I'm already greased and oiled up for him. So.
Someone pointed out, by the way, that someone else pointed out that technically UFC 3 also had a fight that was kind of – guys came out, but then the Hoyce Gracie and Harold Howard thing and Hoyce Gracie's team threw in the towel just because Hoyce was exhausted and dehydrated. So a very different – I would say a different scenario, but somewhat an example of one guy having already made their way to the octagon.
But that was an official fight, though. That counted as an official L for Hoyce, right?
You know what?
It was a tournament, so they needed an official winner.
Okay.
Yes. It's funny. Depending which database you look at, though, I don't see it as a loss on Hoyce's record. So technically, no. Yeah, I don't know. For the longest time, I thought it was.
Both guys are in the octagon, though, right? Both guys are out there when they called
Hoyce's
that one, right?
Guys, they were both at – yeah, and Hoyce stepped in to throw in the towel, and that was about it. So different. Definitely okay. Different.
Yeah, a little different. There you go. But that was wild. Hopefully that one gets rebooked, or at least Chaz gets rebooked soon. I thought maybe we'd see Chaz Skelly versus Luis Pena at that point, because Pena called for it.
Because Mike,
I actually read what?
What do I always say?
Go ahead, say it again for the people.
Casey, you can say it for Casey.
No. This is you, man.
No, because I think I've said it enough. As soon as it happened, my Twitter mentions just erupted. So one of y'all can say it for me.
Fights don't happen until both guys are in the cage.
Bingo.
It's not a. Yep.
That was inappropriate.
I believe your tweet. I'm looking for your tweet. It was all caps. Yep. Nothing is official until both men are in the octagon. Exclamation point.
Oh, I'm waiting for two guys to go in the octagon, and then one guy, when Buffer points to him, he's going to raise his hand up, and then he's like, oh, my back. So we're waiting. Or, like, you know, DC's going to sneeze or something, and, you know, he throws his back out white. You know, we still got records to beat. We still got records to beat.
We do. That was wild.
Whoa, jinx.
Terrence Leverett, thoughts on Derek Minner versus Bryce Mitchell being next? AK and I will be talking about this tomorrow. I will say I'm not picking that fight on to the next one.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Mitchell's a little higher up.
Mitchell's further than that. Yeah. If anything, like Minner versus Andre Feely would be a good fight, because Feely just lost to Bryce Mitchell. You know, they both had a million fights, and I think Bryce Mitchell is ranked right now. He's like 15 or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's past that.
I agree. Thanks for the question. No.
I think there's other featherweights that are like Ilia Topuria right now is right
Minner
there too.
Versus if he stays at featherweight, who did Zubaira, the one that he just lost. I know he didn't make weight, but like he lost to Mina Keem on Fight Island. Like I think that's an awesome fight too. Those are two action fighters.
I think Zubair is booked against somebody.
Is he?
I forget who it is. I'll have to look that up. I think we have bonuses. I'm trying to find them. Wait a minute. Hold on. Hang tight. Nope, I don't see them, but I guess they are up.
No bonus?
I guess they're up there somewhere.
It's got to be Lewis. I keep saying I got Dukakis in my head. Jesus.
Dukakis. I see it. Derek Lewis.
Chris. Jose was right.
Derek Alden. Lewis. Chris Dukakis.
Chris Dukakis.
Tom Aspinall and Zahabi.
Zahabi. Yeah, I'll go with that. That sounds about right. Yep, you know, and that goes to show you that the UFC also thought that Erosa's stoppage was unfair to Erosa. Because since he didn't get the clean stoppage, I think that actually robbed him of $50,000. To be honest, like I
still would have taken that over the Dukakis stoppage. The Dukakis stoppage was great. But I say that like that Dukakis stoppage was great. I thought it was a little late, but again, yes, I think in terms of bonuses, definitely the UFC will favor late over early. I think almost every time. But I would have given the bonus.
I think there's an aspect of the bonuses that is completely used for marketing purposes. So if they see something in Dukakis, they're gonna be like, "He has five bonuses." But like, you know, they want to, like, Ronda Rousey got a bonus, a fight of the night bonus against Holly Holm. Was that a good fight?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. That was
they
weird,
use it for they use it for they use bonuses to push their narrative. Like, it's why they don't give bonuses. Like, yeah, like, we all, like, most of the time they get it right to an extent. But, like who's the Boomhauer cat from Fight Island? The one that knocks his opponent dead?
Ike Villanueva.
Like, walk-off KOs always good, but he doesn't. Like, they want to – but they give it to Umar specifically. And you know why they gave it to Umar. I know the whole narrative is competition, level of competition matters stuff, but like Umar was on the prelims and his last name is Nurmagomedov, and they want his cousin to come back and fight. That's why Umar and Nurmagomedov got it over Ike Villanueva.
Wow. The conspiracy theories. My goodness.
It's not a conspiracy. Conspiracy theories are stupid. This is not a conspiracy.
Which is what every conspiracy theorist says.
This is exactly. This is J-Anon. J-Anon here with the – oh, my goodness.
Here's the secret. If you ask for a fight, the UFC will never book it. If you say, I want fighter A versus fighter B, the UFC will do fighter C versus fighter L. That is incorrect. What will happen.
Incorrect, because we saw in the very first
fight of
the night.
Of course, there are outliers.
We had Jared Vandera.
Jared Vandera the reigning between the links champion. Spivak. Specifically, fine, you can say all that you want, but Jose Young, the links champion, said, I want Mike Perry versus Robbie Lawler, and I was called a fool by one Jordan Mishu, and everyone lambasted
Jordan, Jordan Mishu.
And that's the fight they booked. So there are, of course, anomalies. Like one day, Alex Kelly will show up with a proper haircut and he'll button his shirt when he comes onto the post-fight show. Of course, there are things that will happen.
Who's Jordan? Who's Jordan Mishu?
Nine times, I don't know, the guy that does the morning report, whose hometown team
you work with?
Like it's
Mike, will you spray these guys with water?
You work
spray with water.
No, dog. It's the guy whose hometown teams can't keep fourth quarter leads. Jordan Mishu. Anyway. If you want to fight, it won't happen. If you think a bonus will happen, nine times out of ten, it won't happen. It's just how the UFC operates. If you want Dana White to do something, tell him it's a terrible idea. Those are the secrets.
Reverse psychology. You got to reverse psychology, Dana.
I'm just surprised they gave it to Zahabi only because, you know, we all know Dana's relationship with Ariel Helwani. And you know Ariel Helwani's just claiming he won $50,000.
So. He thought, it's a little too familiar, just like out of reflex, might have been like, oh, something about this guy's rubbing me the wrong way.
Can we cut him?
Is that why Cassidy didn't get a bonus? Because he had an Ariel tattoo on his chest?
Yeah.
But it's a hobby. I'm back, a win after a long layoff. He got 30% of his opponent's purse, and he got himself a bonus. So well done for Eamon.
That was a sweet knockout. That was a good knockout.
That was violent.
It was so violent. Go on.
And it was the last. And the cherry on top of Sunday, it was the last fight of his contract. So there you go.
Oh.
Even better.
Good on him.
Make that money, son.
Perfect time.
Is he a normal? He's normally a bantamweight, right? So this fight was at 140 because of the catch weight, right? Because
Traco missed by 4.5 pounds.
Traco, okay. What? There was a fight that really. I don't want to be negative, but I kind of got annoyed that the UFC, Bisping and they never really talked about Jared Gordon missing weight so significantly over his victory over Chavez, and I thought the weight played an advantage. So I wish the announcers would kind of hit that point a little more. But yeah, whatever. Otherwise, good night.
I don't think they mentioned it much in the Vieta fight either. I don't remember them mentioning weight cut issues a lot during the night. I don't think Rafael Alves got mentioned at all, unfortunately.
Who?
Probably better that way.
John Dagnan, what is next for Curtis Blaydes? Last time he lost, the UFC gave him lower ranked fighters like Justin Willis. Should he fight Chris Daukaus? Maybe the Ciryl Gane, Jairzinho Rozenstruik loser. Don't see the Volkov rematch happening. So. What do we do with Curtis Blaydes, Jose, outside of take a long break after getting knocked out like that?
Yeah, I don't hate the loser Jairzinho Gane. Like I said, he's already beaten Overeem. They're teammates now, so that fight's not going to happen. I'm trying to think off the top of my head who else is a heavyweight, like in the top seven range. Because he already beat Shamil. So who does Augusto Sakai fighting next?
Is he fighting Shamil?
Wow, maybe if Augusto wins, maybe Walt Harris, Spivak, he just got a win. I don't know, one of those guys. But man, the loser, Jairzinho Gane, I'm fine with. Also, because I just like that fight as a fight. And they would both be top six through seven, six guys. So, yeah, I'm fine with the loser of that.
What do you think, Casey?
For Blaydes, honestly, it kind of – depends on something I don't really know. Do you think the UFC actually, like the brass, do you think they actually like Curtis Blaydes? Are they going to try to rebuild him to be a top-tier elite middleweight, or are they going to give him, like, back of the line? I'm sorry, heavyweight. When I say middleweight? They're going to throw him the back of the line. He's going to have to fight, like, you know, like six, seven more times to even get to a title challenger. I kind of tend to go they're going to put him in the back of the line. So I actually think Curtis Blaydes will fight someone, you know.
Hey, Ben Rothwell's not ranked.
Yeah, it's only like
he's fighting.
Oh no, he's fighting
Ben Lima. Rothwell's fighting
Lima.
Yeah,
Philippe Lima.
Oh, that's right.
Lins.
Lins. Sorry,
Philippe Lins.
Justin Taffa.
What about Razor Blades? Razor Blades and Andre Arlovski. Is that just cruel?
I don't mind it. No, I don't mind it.
Doesn't bother me.
So I was thinking Andre versus Olenek. Have they fought?
No, never. Amazingly, they have never. Yeah, they have somehow
so
not
that
fought.
Might be like the oldest combined age ever for a UFC heavyweight fight in a long time. Yeah. So I kind of like that. But I think Razor Blades is going to have to. Yeah, they're going to push him way back. Unfortunately, it's not going to be like one fight and he's back in contention.
I will say, I thought the UFC did a good job with some of their Blades video packages. Or maybe it was ESPN. I'm not sure whichever side was handling that. I thought they did a really good job. I like that they highlighted again sort of his that stuff about like the difficulties with his speech impediment and how he kind of dealt with that as he was coming up and sort of some of the choices he had to make dealing with that and then getting into martial arts. And I thought that was really cool. I think it was a little bit different from some of the more kind of conventional packages we see. So kudos for that. I don't know how that reflects upon what the UFC thinks of them. I don't think they dislike him in any way. He might not be one of their favorites, as he's someone I think that they're like eager to like really push to the top. Maybe not. But no, I think they like him. I don't think there's anything against Blades, even considering whatever his wrestling heavy style and his kind of how stern he is with sticking to it. I don't think they have any issue with that.
Man, did anyone lose more tonight than Curtis Blades though? Ooh. I mean, I know everyone. I know there were like. No, 12 losers tonight. Losers. But I really feel like Curtis Blades lost the most.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I mean,
or Caitlin Vieira.
Or Caitlin Vieira. But even,
yeah, that was tough.
But I think Blades lost more. I mean, Caitlin Vieira wasn't like laid out. I think Curtis Blades is a good dude, a nice guy. But in terms of prize fighting, that's another issue.
I mean, he's got options. Marcin Tybor is fighting Blagoy Ivanov, I believe at UFC 260. So maybe the winner or loser of that fight. I mean, plus there's like a slew of up and coming heavyweights as was shown on the broadcast tonight. We got, I mean, Tom Aspinall, got guys like Alexander Romanov. We got like some really, we got some.
That's the guy I'm thinking of. Romanov and Blades. If they want Romanov, they want to push Romanov and give him a big jump. I like that. I was trying to think of that. I was like, who is that? I know there's one like really good wrestler.
That's a big test.
I like it.
All right.
We answered this question.
What else we got? Is that the last time?
Grand.
Yes. Is that the last time we saw Alexei Olenek?
No.
I think he's got one more. I think UFC likes him.
I think he's got a lot more.
Well, I mean, I think he'll fight more, but how many more times do you think the UFC will have him around?
I mean, it depends if he wins. Maybe one more loss.
They'll keep him.
One more fight at least.
Even then, I think it would. Yeah, I think they'll keep him around.
I hope so.
He's got that. The name is value. I mean, look what he did for Chris Daukaus. Now he's going to be a top 10, top 11 guy because he got a win like that. So he's got value. They're going to keep putting him up against prospects.
I would love to see him face Rothwell and Felipe, whatever his name is. Because Rothwell wants to fight Olenek. Rothwell wanted to fight Olenek after the Jacksonville fights. And I loved that fight. For whatever reason, they didn't make it. But again, because no one makes the fights that you want. But yeah. Ben Rothwell, Philippe winner versus Olenek. Love that fight because if Philippe wins, it's another prospect versus Olenek. And if Rothwell wins, that's just another go-go choke versus Ezekiel choke thing that we could be talking about.
All right. Scott McCrade, has the UFC tapped into the proverbial gold mine with UAE Warriors women's flyweights? O'Neal tonight, Manon Fiorot had a spectacular debut last month in Abu Dhabi. The UFC is doing a good job building this division right now. The problem is, and I want to get your take on this, AK, because we do matchmaking shows. When you have someone like Manon come in and get a win over Victoria Leonardo, and you have Casey O'Neill getting a win over Shauna Dobson, it's kind of tough for the what's next, you know, because you don't want to push either of those ladies too fast. And there's not a ton of fighters in this division. So, I mean, in terms of like the future, definitely two very promising prospects, but where do you go from here with them? Because you can't just it's just hard. You can't, it's hard to throw like either of these women in with like a Courtney Casey, even though they're like Courtney Casey's kind of on the snide right now. It's kind of hard to justify a 5-0 fighter getting in there and fighting a veteran like Courtney Casey. So what have you made of sort of this build of the women's flyweight division with some of these prospects that they've added on here?
I mean, I think it's great. I definitely would hesitate to use the phrase goldmine. Again, that's one win for O'Neill and one win for Fierro. So it's I don't know. They look great. They look great as advertised. Like Scott saying here, they came from the UAE with quite a bit of hype, and they delivered. But let's wait to see how they do. I want to see their second fight. For me, I really think I need three, like at least three UFC fights usually, unless there's a large body of work outside of the UFC, like a Jiří Procházka. You kind of only need that one fight to say this guy is like a top five light heavyweight. He's done so much good work outside of it. But O'Neill, this was her sixth pro fight. I think same with Fierro. I think it was her sixth pro fight. So that's a very small sample, guys. And I think both of them, I think O'Neill's only been fighting for two, 3 years. And I think Fierro is the same way. Or might have been fighting for longer, but there was like a break in there.
I think what these two ladies, specifically these two women that we're talking about in Fierro and O'Neill is like, yeah, like their professional record is like pretty new, but they have a lot of amateur fights between the two of them. Like that was Fierro's whole thing. Like she fought a lot on the MMAF, the acronym escapes me at the moment, but
yeah,
like,
yeah, no, that's
her whole
right,
thing.
Yeah.
Like she couldn't really get a ton of pro. She didn't want to just jump into like the, was she French, right? Like there was not a lot of French fights for her to take. So she went this route to get the amateur fights under her belt. And Kate O'Neill did the same. Doesn't she have like what? Probably like six or seven. I looked at her record right before this card started.
It's like
she had
like
six or seven amateur fights. And that's when she started 0-2 and then rattled off like six or seven wins and then turned pro. So I think both of these women, specifically these two women, have a lot more experience than their professional record shows.
Sure. But as far as matchmaking go, future matchmaking, I don't think it's that difficult. I definitely would not push them out too quickly. This is why they have contender series people to bring in. They have Invicta as a pipeline. They have the talent there to draw from that they can call up as opponents for them. So, yeah, hopefully, kind of Mike, as you suggested, don't push them up too quickly. Top 15, top 20. They don't need to be up there yet. If they blow out their next opponent, then we start talking about that. But let's see how they do. But, yeah, definitely some promising signings from UAE Warriors. So, that's always a promotion to keep an eye on, by the way, for future UFC talent.
Sure. Is UAE Warriors, is that a Fight Pass? Does that air on Fight Pass over here?
Yeah. So that was what UAE Warriors is what Brave should have been. Brave's whole gimmick was they were going to compete with the UFC and they were going to be like UFC Bellator 1 level. And UAE Warriors was like, we're not going to be that. We're going to be the feeder system for this region into the UFC, which is why a lot of fighters that were on Brave are now in UAE Warriors. And the last Dana White looking for a fight was at UAE Warriors. That's when he had that video with Habib, because Habib was also there.
That was like a joint show, right? That was like UAE Warriors and someone else. Yeah. It was like a co-promotional show. I can't remember the other promotion.
Yeah. Was it Habib's promotion?
Oh, it might have been. Eagle Fighting. Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, EFC and UAE.
Which, shout out to Habib, because did you see his media scrum? Because he does a media scrum after like every event, because he's basically the Dana White of that promotion. And his last one, well, might have been one of his more recent ones, he started with, he goes, before I ask your questions, I want to know how all of the media's experience was here. Because when I first signed up, he's like, when I first took over, I did not like how the media was treated. Like, it's basically a UFC, like the mic stand with the mics everywhere. Like, it's like a scrum at a fight night card. That's like before the pandemic where there were no press conferences. Like, it was just a scrum. So, yeah, it looks like UAE Warriors is taking a playbook out of the UFC's media relations book. So, yeah, good on him.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but
Habib's killing the game.
But overall, yeah, both those women, definitely slow roll. No need. There's so many freaking fight nights and stuff. There's plenty of, I think, card space that they don't need to fight anyone near the top 15 yet. So, but both are.
And I think Casey's like a decade younger than Manon Fierro too, right? Isn't Manon
only
like
23?
Early 30s?
Yeah, Casey's only 23, and I'm not sure how old Fierro is.
One of them should fight. Who's that Russian female fighter? The one that slashed her face open against Miranda Maverick on Fight Island.
Oh, Jojua.
Yeah, that's a fight. I think she's probably ranked pretty low. And then like JJ Aldridge or like pulling on a Botello, something like that, maybe.
Yeah,
I think they're in that range.
I was thinking there.
Yeah.
But yeah, dude, man, but UFC flyweight, the lady flyweights, man.
It's a good division.
Yeah, I think. Are we over that whole? It's a weak division. It's shallow. I mean,
how close are we to saying
yeah?
The women's flyweight is like the men's heavyweight, where all like today we saw the future of the division. And then, but like for a long time, it was shallow, and I still think it's pretty top heavy, but the future is bright.
I kind of have a feeling it's a bit like the men's flyweight division when Demetrius was running things, because Demetrius was just so ahead of the curve as far as the other flyweights. It made the other flyweights look, I don't know, insignificant. And I think Valentina is just so good right now. It's just so far ahead of the curve in terms of the other lady flyweights. I feel the general fan consensus is that, well, O'Neal might be good, whatever. She's still going to get whooped up by Valentina, so who cares? And I just hope that narrative kind of dissipates.
Yeah. But I think if you want to throw in the belt for flyweights too, I mean, you really have something going there. Because and Mike Apto and I talked about this on the matchmaking show a lot, is some women came down from 135, some went up from 115. So it's really – and with the talent that was already developing there, 125 is solid.
I think you have who is it? Is it Talia Santos, Macy Barber, mm-hmm. Grosso, Maverick, Mazo, and then the O'Neal and Ferro that we just talked about. Like, yeah, flyweight, none of them are ranked, but they're all going to be like top seven in like a year or two.
And I think they're exciting fighters too. It's not just there's excitement too. Yeah. It's not just.
Yeah. Good and fighters. It's interesting because I bet like 12, maybe 18 months ago, people were probably saying like, oh, Antonina Shevchenko, Ariana Lipsky, like those are the names that you need to look at. And then all these other names just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Cool, cool. All right.
Look at Lauren Murphy right now. Good God almighty. Yeah. What a transformation she's made.
Murphy versus JoJo. Make it happen.
Casey, do you see this question from Cosain Keith about the heavyweights? Grab that one for later. See, right near the bottom. Yeah, it just kind of just came up.
Maybe.
But if you have a queued up, just grab it after me.
Why is he so small?
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Matthew Mullen. Shout out to Duval. Matthew Mullen. Duval. Okay.
Duval.
He's a Duval guy. Sorry. Go ahead.
Is it the UFC / Dana's worst nightmare if Derek Lewis gets a title shot and wins? I don't think so at all.
I don't think so at all.
I mean, everybody likes Derek Lewis. Everybody. Every single person. Maybe except for Alistair Overeem. Everybody else likes Derek Lewis.
I don't even think Alistair Overeem hates him. I just think he was trying to pick a fight against someone that he thought he could be.
Yeah, unless Derek Lewis is punching you, no one hates him.
Yeah, he's so likable.
He is, and he's more professional than people think. I know people think like, oh, he's a wild card. He's actually very smart and kind of calculated with how he portrays himself. Mm-hmm. So if he had to go on like, I was going to say like Kelly Ripa. Who's Kelly Ripa's co-host these days? You guys watch a lot of morning daytime television.
Ryan Seacrest, right? Whatever.
Ryan, sure. If he had to go on like Ryan and Kelly or something, he could, trust me, he could class it up a little bit while still bringing his own, you know, Black Beast brand of humor. So, yeah, no, he'd be a great champion. He'd be such a fun champion.
He's also doesn't seem like an expensive fighter. Like, he just wants to fight. Like, he'll fight anyone for money. Like, remember he told Daniel Cormier, he's like, I'll punch anyone for money. So, yeah.
It's difficult
to negotiate with Derek Lewis, so I think he'll be fine. Plus, he was obviously, when the floods hit Houston, he was amazing in that. And then now that Texas is kind of going through another thing, I feel like every few years a natural disaster hits Texas. Derek Lewis is usually right there on the front lines with his giant truck helping people.
But now he's in his little Lamborghini, you know, pick up and he'll fix up all the busted water pipes and, you know, shovel snow in his Lamborghini.
Someone tweeted this. He goes, what is Derek Lewis going to do? Someone needs to build a giant hamster wheel for Derek Lewis to drive really fast and just create energy for the state of Texas.
That is funny. We don't need wind turbines. Tweet. We need Derek Lewis in a hamster wheel. That's how energy works.
Driving his Lamborghini.
Yeah, his Lamborghini. Oh, I thought it was him doing cardio in the hamster wheel.
Hey, why not?
Wait,
Derek Lewis just punches something.
Did you guys see that the Derek Lewis Lamborghini little vignette? Did you watch
it? Yeah.
Okay. They showed a shot of the Lamborghini doing like a U-turn. Why? it was like this little slow U-turn. I was like, that turn radius is not that impressive. I'm sorry. As a production guy, I was just looking, going like, all right, it's like, all right.
Maybe he's not registered and he can't drive it on the street.
Here's Derek Lewis parallel parking up the hill.
Dude, I would pay a lot of money to watch Derek Lewis parallel park a Lamborghini.
I would too. Derek Lewis 1999. Let's see. Yana Kunitskaya showed that you fight until the bell rings. Now she's won 4 of her last 5 fights. Holly Holm versus Juliana Pena will happen May 8th. How does Yana Kunitskaya, Casey Lydon, fit into the women's bantamweight division going forward?
I feel like the UFC has just completely forgotten about the bantamweight division. They just kind of give them fights because they have to. Holly and Pena was just booked. I don't like that booking, but it happened. Is Asmanad, is she on her way back soon?
She already beat Yana.
She did?
She beat her on that. You were at the fight. It was in Washington, D.C.
That was a lifetime ago. That's a lifetime ago now.
So many fights.
That's what Alistair Overeem's face got ripped out.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he remembers. I mean, there you go. Remember,
it was like a pretty close fight. It was also after Aspen Ladd disputed her loss to GDR.
Okay.
And I was like, she kept shooting down all the questions. Whenever someone would ask her about it, she's like, I already talked about it. And then between round 2 and 3, her coach gave her a pep talk, and she just screamed really loud and then ran out and punched her. And that stopped the fight. It was a very bizarre scene.
Well, the only fight that kind of makes sense, if the UFC doesn't have something booked for, or doesn't have an idea of who they're going to book Nunes next for at 135, I guess Yana GDR? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
It just, there doesn't seem to be anything that kind of jumps off the table and just go, yeah, we got to see this fight.
Marion Renault and Kiesen just got canceled again, right?
It's March 20th now.
Got moved
again. GSN got an injury, yeah.
They should have just made whatever. Doesn't matter. Irene needs to fight too. Irene's 4 and Yana's probably 6 now. So
that's a good option.
Irene makes sense. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I can't believe they didn't book Holly versus GDR, the rematch.
Girl.
Shocked.
I know. It made too much sense.
It made too much sense. Because
Go ahead.
Why? They don't make fights that make sense or people want. Yeah. It's what happens. Stop asking for fights. It's not going to happen.
I wrote this whole robbery review of their first fight, and I was like, I even wrote the beginning of that, like, almost like suggesting, like, I'm pretty sure that this rematch is going to be booked soon. So what perfect timing for this robbery review to be written. And I think that was the last straw. I think someone in the UFC saw that and was like, they were thinking about booking that rematch. We're like, no, we're not. We're definitely not doing it now.
Never going to happen.
No.
It's never going to happen. If anything, like, Yana's going to fight like Julia Vila, which would be a fun fight. But it would just, again, like, why?
Why? Yeah. It is tough. I will say, it is tough because, you know, we don't know what's going on with Nunez. I keep saying she might retire this year for all we know. She might decide somehow to defend the featherweight title again. I don't know how. I don't know who would be next. But we just, until, you know, this is the problem when you have such, not just a 2-division champion, but one who is so dominant. Man, again, it really is, like you said, the rest of the division is just kind of fighting for script and much depend on what she decides to do. I don't know. Maybe a vacant title. If there's a vacant title, that could work out really well for Yana. She could be one half of that. Maybe. She's on that list now. Nah. Why I think she fit. I mean, Joseph Boza asked, where does she fit in? I think she's on that list. I think if she was made, she's already, she did not she didn't challenge for the featherweight title. Did when no when Cyborg
Yana? Yeah, she got cooked up by Cyborg when Cyborg. Yeah, they replaced Frankie Max, and Max Frankie got deaded by Brian Ortega on that card.
Right. So it's not. Thanks for reminding me of that trauma. But yeah, so it's not the. I mean, it's not crazy. She is a previous UFC title challenger. If you want to get technical.
I think if Amanda beats Megan, I think that's her last fight at featherweight. And then she takes one more at bantamweight, and that's a wrap. And because if she beats Megan Anderson, someone – I can't remember if you're listening to this, and you – and so this is not my fact. Someone told me this. If you're listening to this, remind me because I forgot your name. If Amanda beats Megan Anderson, she's beaten every single featherweight champion from every major promotion pretty much. Like the Strikeforce, Invicta, Bellator, the UFC, and then the only one she hasn't fought is Pam because she's the current Invicta champ. So they just, if she wants top over, but I don't think that's enough. So yeah, it's every featherweight champion, like right now, a man is already beat.
So I see so Amanda Nunes is like in Pam Swanson. That's what I hear. So
she even beat Julia Budd back in the day, Trump, right? She beat Budd way back.
More like Sean Shelby's more like Sean Shelby's protecting Amanda Nunes. Come on, kids. So I think if Juliana wins, then I think that's the fight to make, obviously, because Juliana is going to talk all that greasiness. She's already got Amanda's attention. So, but that's a big if because Holly, for whatever reason, doesn't make any sense, but whatever.
Hey, UFC. Casey,
I got to read out this question. Go ahead. Make your point first. I'm going to move on.
Hey, UFC, Sean Shelby, whoever. Just finally re-sign Sarah Kaufman at bantamweight. She's the top she's the highest ranked unsigned bantamweight in the world. That's not in Bellator. Bellator is not bantamweight division, but you know, or UFC. She's still in her prime. Sign her. She's great in interviews. You know she'll pass her USADA test. Come on, do it. I know.
Bring Sarah Kaufman back.
I still don't understand that at all.
Unbelievable. Casey, so I wanted to read out this question from Kosane Keith because I think it's a sick question. Is this the best heavyweight has been since the Pride days? Top five is ridiculous, plus Stipe, Jones, and a mix of vets and young prospects under them. So that's a question from Kosane Keith. I know he's been, hopefully he's still watching. Is it the best it's been since the Pride days?
It's an interesting question.
Obviously, I imagine this counts all promotions. I mean, we're not just talking about UFC, so.
You know what? I feel like we just had this conversation in like 2015.
So is it even better? I mean, is it even better now?
I mean, anytime you add John Jones, it's not making it worse.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anything, this is the brightest the future has looked. I'll say that.
There's a lot of good fights. It's also, if I look at like the top 20, we're at that stage where you match up like any of these guys in the top 20, I consider it to be a compelling fight. Like, I'm just looking at this list right now, and I'm like, man.
That original Strikeforce Grand Prix freaking ruled. Like, the original lineup, awesome. That was so good. But, like, I think, like, 2015, you had Kane, Verdum, JDS, Stipe, Hunt. Remember Arlovsky rattled off, like, four wins in a row. Ben Rothwell was go-go choking everyone. Overeem was, like, 10th ranked. Like, that was a fun era too, like, but they were all peaking at that point. I feel like that was when the heavyweight division was like kind of held up by Kane and two other people.
That's interesting.
It's in a good place right now. That's for damn sure. Yeah.
It's definitely the future has not been this bright in a long time.
All right,
it's great.
Questions, guys? Questions.
Someone, someone in the comments was trying to correct us, correct you, I guess, Jose, on the beating all the champions. They said, oh, she never beat Gina. Gina was not the Strikeforce featherweight champion. She never won. She fought Cyborg for the inaugural title. She did not hold the Strikeforce title.
Also, so whoever there was trying to. I'm pretty sure what the stat was, she's beating all the current champions. So I'm not saying like past champions, unless she has. I'm assuming there hasn't been that many women's featherweight champions in MMA history.
Yeah, it's a short list.
All right.
Did Gina just give an interview? Did I see that? That was weird.
Yeah, she talked to Ben Shapiro.
Oh, great. I'm sure it was very fair and not one-sided.
Thrilling.
I believe our own Damon Martin watched it, and I think there will be a story.
God bless you, Damon. God bless you.
He's a hero. Damon's a hero.
That's kind of
legit that KO is like a Mortal Kombat fatality.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
It was. I have to say.
Go, Jose.
I don't know nothing about the Mortal Kombat lore. I have no emotional connections to the games, the movies, if there was a TV show, there are trading cards or action figures. My fandom with like nerd culture kind of ends at video games, not because I disliked them, I just didn't have them growing up. I know the names they say in the song, and that's about it, which gets me to the point. It is Techno Syndrome by the Immortals. Mm-hmm. It is not called Mortal Kombat theme. Give the Immortals the respect they earned with the best theme song in the history of video games, okay? They didn't make that epic song just to be called the Mortal Kombat theme. No, it's Techno Syndrome. Shout out to the Immortals.
How's the song go?
Boom.
Okay. I can't make robot noises, Casey. I'm not the guy from Police Academy, so I'm not going to try.
Oh, look who it's.
AK Kanda.
It goes, and again, you guys have to say the names of the guys. Scorpion. Kano. Sonya.
Mike
Casey. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, there's a few things they say. They say test your might a bunch of times in there.
Yes.
And then test there's like four lines of just excellent, like over and over and over.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Excellent. Someone look on YouTube. Someone cut the new movie trailer. They just put they cut in the Techno Syndrome into the trailer to replace the song that's in the new trailer.
And so they not use the better. Song.
No, I think it's a little bit at the end. I think there's a slowed down snippet of it at the end. I think they're trying to distance themselves, like saying, like, we don't want to rely on everything from the past. But someone has already done an overdub and put it in there. Yeah,
someone's already. That's so dumb. That's like when they did Ghost in a Shell. They used the Ghost in a Shell theme song. Like, it's right there on a silver platter. Just use it.
That's all for you, AJ.
Right. I agree. Thank you. I apologize for your ears, people, but that is how the song goes.
You know, I might have made a mistake because as soon as I asked you to sing that, like on my screen, all these like thumbs down emojis just like popping up everywhere.
Yeah. I saw our viewership drop. Like 300 people just left. It's gone.
If we're gonna have to, if we're gonna do a Mortal Kombat theme show, we're gonna need our former colleague Sean Alshadi on. Sean Alshadi will know. I assume Sean knows his way around a Mortal Kombat game.
Sure, I do. You could ask me. But John Danion, thank you for those are the lyrics to the Mortal Kombat song. So, yeah, exactly.
Great theme song.
It's crazy we never got to see Blades on top of Lewis even once. What are the odds of that?
I mean, I picked Lewis, but I thought at some point he would have to, you know, do the Lewis get up. You know,
what was it like in the first round, Derek? Like Lewis kind of glanced that uppercut off Blades' jaw, like real early, and obviously that put the fear of God into Curtis Blades. But then he, like Casey said, he was kind of getting the better of the keeping his range.
Yeah.
And then as soon as he shot in again, he got a one way ticket to the Shadow Realm. So it's like that's what happens.
When you fight Derek Lewis, that you cannot make him like Derek Lewis is beatable. He's clearly beatable. You just can't make a mistake. You just can't make a mistake against Derek Lewis. And I mean, I didn't get your opinion on it, guys, but like, what if Curtis Blades would have stayed on the outside and kind of made it a boring jab fight, maybe kind of fake the takedown just to keep Lewis thinking K-1 about
Blades.
It, huh?
K-1 Blades.
Yeah, yeah. Could he have jabbed his way to a victory? Like, do you think?
100%.
I really think Blades could have
because like just like what crud, what is his name? Dan Tom, our good friend Dan Tom on Twitter said every time Derek, because like Dan trains too, so like he kind of like he's like one of the best guys I've ever seen at breaking down fights. He said every time Derek Lewis throws a punch, his knees hurt watching it. Because he throws from the canvas, and like he's like, oh, his knees are hanging on by a thread. He's like, and all of a sudden he connects. So it's like, of course, like Derek Lewis could, if you could keep him at a distance, maybe Derek Lewis's legs will just cave out from underneath him after throwing so many over five rounds. But yeah, he has like for all the time we talk about Francis Ngannou sending people to their doom. Like Derek Lewis is a horrifying individual as well.
Yeah.
Crazy.
12 knockouts. 12 UFC knockouts.
UFC Hall of Famer, Derek Lewis.
Easily. Absolutely.
Easily.
He's 100%.
You know, that's wild. Yeah, that's just like, you know, when men or women make their UFC debuts or whatever, like, you know, we saw Casey O'Neill make her UFC debut tonight. You know, who knows what the future is for. But when you remember Derek Lewis's first fight in the UFC, were you thinking this? Or were you just like, okay, he's a big heavyweight, he's a big bruiser. Or are you thinking like, dude, he's Derek Lewis is legitimately one of the best heavyweights of all time. You know, in the top 15 heavyweights of all time. I don't know. But I think it's just wild. I don't know. It kind of just blows my mind.
I love it.
I love it.
Has almost 2 million Instagram followers as well.
As he should. He should probably have like 20 million Instagram followers. He is the best follow on.
Some of those memes were a little too hot.
I think 1.5 to 2 is a good range, because then you start getting into the fake bot range, and then every now and then Instagram will just purge your followers. But that's another story.
Yeah, I'm like 2 million away from that number, so I suck at it. I suck at Instagram. I keep saying I'm going to try to get better at it.
People that spend their lives on Instagram freak me out, man. They're so bizarre to me.
People who use Instagram as their sole source of news, that's what scares me.
Oh, they freak me out, man.
You know what I'm talking about? Like that's all that their news are strictly
Or people that need to like I love Adam Schefter. I love you. I love Adam Schefter, the reporter. But like, why do I need Adam Schefter's 2 cents on like Whitey Ford passing away? You know what I'm talking about, Mike? Like, why? Like if Ray Bourque if Ray Bourque blew his ACL, I don't need to hear Adam Schefter's take on it. Like, that's my true 2 cents on Instagram. It's gone. ESPN's gone weird with their Instagrams.
Where's Jaw? That's all I have to say about that, Jose. No, I need unrelated journalists and celebrities to help me make sense of these things. Where is Jaw?
Lewis Francis too. It's going to happen at some point.
Eventually. But I would like to, someone said they want to see for the title, and I don't hate it. If one of them gets the belt and then eventually it's for a title, like, I wouldn't hate it.
If Francis beats Stipe, which I predict he will, I mean, yeah. This could be a reverse Woodley versus Wonder Boy, where the first fight was awesome and the second fight just sucked. Yeah,
that's a good point.
It could be. I mean, because like, everyone's like, every fight's different. Every fight is different. Everyone, I don't know why people
or
think.
It could just end up being Phil Davis, Ryan Bader part two.
Oh. Which we could possibly get for the finals of the Bellator tournament.
MMA is a silly sport. Give it to me. I love chaos.
I would be surprised if it was a boring fight again. I do think a lot of the stuff that Francis said is sort of about like his whatever he had lost or whatever made him lose focus during that time. I believe it. I know it's excuses. I know it's excuses. Everyone's going to say after performance, oh, that wasn't me. I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. I think a second fight would be more exciting. But both guys would have to be very respectful of each other's power, right?
I think Francis would throw a lot of kicks in a rematch of Derek Lewis, because I was talking to who's his coach right now at the time. I don't know who his coach was. When he fought Jairzinho. Yeah.
When he fought Jairzinho.
Is he at Syndicate or Extreme?
No, he was only at Syndicate for a little bit. He was at Syndicate for the really bad fight. I don't know. I can't remember actually. I don't know.
Extreme coach? The big guy.
Eric Nixick.
I think it might have been him. I'm not 100%. Yeah. He was showing his video of like him warming Francis up in the back. He goes, this is what we were drilling before the fight. And it was like crazy fast combinations. And it was just a question mark kick. I'm just like, imagine if you landed that. And then what we got was him just doing this for 30 seconds until he knocked him out. So it's like, and he's like, what am I going to tell him? It works.
Yeah.
But like, if he fights Derek Lewis, if he's like, all right, like we drilled it, but like F it. Just if you're going to kill a human being, just go do it. So I think if he fights Derek Lewis, it's gonna be pretty kick heavy.
Yeah, I also think Lewis and Ngannou are much. Everything's different, but much like Justin Gaethje, when Justin Gaethje kind of got those losses in the UFC, he's the same guy. He's just a better version. He actually learned from his losses, and I think Ngannou learned from his loss from Stipe. He learned from his inactiveness when he fought Derek Lewis. Mm-hmm. And I think Lewis has actually learned more too of his surgery and taking his health and his actual conditioning more seriously. So I do actually think they're better fighters if they face each other again within the next couple of years. So yeah.
Poirier's on that list.
Poirier too. Like, guys who thought they could have been done, but nope, they're back.
And Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Gilbert Burns.
Yeah, guys that come. I put a lot of stock into guys' careers after epic losses. Like, it's cool to be 20-0, but like, you get crushed in Madison Square Garden like Eddie, and then you just get right back in there and get a fight of the year against Justin Gaethje. Like, how can you not hate? How can you hate on that?
And not even necessarily losses, but like questionable performances. Look at Izzy, and then the Costa fight. Costa fight was awesome. I mean, a totally different kind of opponent, but I mean,
which also let's not forget, because I keep seeing like Eddie Alvarez. You know, he beat Justin Gaethje after the first Poirier fight. Like, people think he just fought to a draw and lost. Like, there was that epic Justin Gaethje fight sandwiched between those.
That was a crazy ass fight too.
Casey, I got a guy, Jack O'Hara, ask. I like this question. Look at this. The truck is, guys. This is why Casey makes. This is why the truck. This is why he's in the truck and makes the big bucks. Jack O'Hara, who gets higher rank come Tuesday. I love this because we were talking about this on the Q&A and Aspinall or Dacus. I don't know. You guys can go first.
It's gotta be Dacus.
It's easy. Yeah, it's easy. Dacus.
Okay. Okay. I thought
Dacus would be ranked higher, but I'm actually higher in Aspinall. I think Aspinall has his potential is better. But what are rankings? But both those gentlemen are good. They're both good fighters.
Well, along those lines. Thank you for the question, Jack. Will they both be ranked? Well, look, I'll bring up the official rankings right now.
Dacus, absolutely.
Dacus has to be, because he just beat top than the 10 guy. Here's who they'll knock off, though. And this is probably I hope they bump this guy up. And Tabura. Tabura went 4-0 in 2020, and he's 15th. That doesn't seem fair.
Poor Tabura. He didn't feel like we knocked him off.
Shouldn't he be higher? Yeah, shouldn't he be higher? He shouldn't get knocked off the list. That's weird.
I feel like Pavlovich will get knocked off.
None of the people Tabura fought were ranked, though.
This is true.
4-0 against four unranked fighters, yeah.
Correct.
And one of them was Greg Hardy.
So he's going to lose his spot. You know what? He's going to beat Blago Ivanov and get that spot right back. But it looks like Pavlovich and Tabura might lose their spots to Aspinall and Dacus.
I think Tabura will stay because, again, rankings are used for marketing purposes. So I feel like they would, you know, like when a fighter has a fight coming up, all of a sudden he's out of nowhere, like Hamza. Which is all of a sudden 15 because he got a fight scheduled. So it's going to be like that. Sure. Tabura's going to keep his spot just because he has a fight booked. Pavlovich doesn't, so he'll probably lose his spot.
What about Ivanov? You think Ivanov loses his spot?
Probably not. I think Dacus will be 15. Alexei Linick will probably fall out.
Oh, just lose his spot entirely.
Dacus will go
to 10. I don't think there's any problem with that because I don't think Linick. I'm just looking at the guys behind Linick. He lost to, I don't think he's, I think that would make sense. That'd be fair. Sorry, Alexei. Ouch. Harsh.
I don't either.
We just talked about how big the heavyweight. Sometimes I really like prospect fights, but not when the division is as shallow as this. And they're both
Liam. I'm not against it. I'm not against it, Liam. I'm not against it.
Unless there's just pure hatred, then, which obviously both of these men are so nice, I don't think it's gonna happen.
Yeah, I'm not. I have a selection. I'm not happy about it, but I have a pick for Dacus for both these guys. The Dacus pick I'm not happy with, but I have to go with it.
Is Romanov, is he booked for a fight at all?
Who? Nope.
Romanov. Man, I want to know how good he is too. I'm excited. I'm excited about these new fresh heavyweights. I gotta say I wasn't super high on. I got the caucus on my head and I can't get it out.
Just keep saying it. Keep saying it, and eventually you'll go back the other way. Like you'll say it so much that you won't be able to.
Dacus actually did surprise me. I wasn't high on him when I first saw him. I thought, okay, regional heavyweight, but he looked great tonight. He does have sharp punch, sharp boxing, and fight smart. He stayed in control. Good fighter. maybe Mike, you know more. Is he training more? I know he's a police officer, right? Is he still doing both full time? I mean, is he still a cop full time? I'm not sure.
No, he's full time cop, man.
Wow. Oh, yeah. I wonder if that holds him back or if he's going to dedicate. I don't know. I'm just wondering.
If you watch his in person media day, not his virtual one, it's he's talking about like times he's been shot at, like on the job. Like, and this isn't like, oh, 10 years ago I was shot at. This is like, oh, the other day. Oh, Christ, man.
He's lost like a ton of weight too. Like he just looks.
He
good.
Did look
he's
better.
Definitely.
He looked better, yeah, right?
He's lost like 20. He's lost like 20 pounds. Like he looks like he's taking it very seriously.
Okay.
Yeah. Can he not make 205? I brought this up before, Mike, and I think he said it's probably not, it might not be. Can he not make 205?
I don't think he needs to.
Doesn't need to right now. Yeah. That's for damn sure.
No,
dude.
Keep doing your thing, man.
Speed kills. Speed kills. If he has good hands and he can stop a takedown, yeah, man. Stay light.
Unless you run into Derek Lewis's fist.
Well, then you go to light heavyweight. Yeah.
You're making me think. Case, you're making me think of Justin Ledet. Should have just stayed at heavyweight. Right? Shouldn't have gone down. Who knows? Right? Maybe you should have stayed there. Story. That was weird. Cool.
I didn't even think about this. Does he have a fight book, Mr. Tsubasa?
I want to say he does.
Here's the thing.
He's fighting Dontell May. He's fighting Dontell Mays.
If I don't like this fight, if you're going to do this, if you're going to do Tsubasa, and this is in a hypothetical world where Tsubasa is on a fight coming up. Tsubasa lost like what, 4 in a row, something like that at one point, 3 in a row. And one of them, he got stopped by Spivak. So if you're going to do any unranked fighter versus Dawkins, it should probably be Spivak, only because they're on the same card. We all said and we all agreed his resume in the UFC is so much more difficult than Dawkins and Aspinall. So if you're going to do a Dawkins versus any unranked heavyweight, I would like Spivak.
Yeah.
Not Ty. Ty is a much more – I would like Ty just for the interviews. And like the tomfoolery that comes with a tied to Tsubasa fight week, but not for the rankings. Like, I think that's like, you're just, that's a disservice to Spivak and what he did in their fight.
Agreed.
But talking about fighters that have reinvented themselves, like Ty at AKA is a completely different human being. So I'm very much looking forward to Ty moving forward, like Ty's performance. And he's training a lot in Dubai. So with that whole squad over there, like the Meniers and Dan Hooker was there for a bit. So yeah, Ty's going to be fun to watch.
I'm glad there's a lot of Dawkins questions. Dawkins getting a lot of love. He looked great tonight. He looked again. I actually picked Olenek. I thought Olenek. I was completely discounting Dawkins' own, you know, Brazilian jiu-jitsu background, strong grappler. Not that it came down to that, but I mean, I feel like if it had gone there, that would have been still a competitive fight. So yeah, I mean, I was really impressed, and clearly he's got a lot of people's attention. So good for him.
My thing of Olenek, I picked Olenek to win tonight, but in my mind, I was like, at some point, Olenek will be old. And I don't know if Olenek was just old tonight, and that's it as far as Olenek being a top tier heavyweight. But yeah, Olenek just as much credit I want to give to Dawkins. I feel Olenek looked. He actually looked.
Think of his age. Think of the phrase "dog kiss."
Dog. Dog kiss. Okay, dog kiss. There you go. Dog kiss. All right, cool. I like it. Thank you, Jose.
Ain't nothing but a thing.
Pronunciation guide.
Dog kiss. I want to put this up. We talked about it briefly before, but this commenter really wants us to talk about it, so let's just put it out there.
Yeah. Can you please talk about how terrible Chris Tione is? He warned Haas 12 times to get his fingers out of the fence. Absolutely should have taken a point. Chris Tione, another awful night. I mean, my God, terrible, terrible night. And it started the very first fight of the night with Sergey Spivak. And it was funny. Someone put out a tweet like with the bout order and who was reffing them. And then they put out like the betting odds of like the over unders of the fight. And Chris Tione, because he allowed Sergey Spivak to just pounce on Jared Vandera for so long, it cost bettors of the under like the winning bet because he didn't stop the fight when he should have, which is bananas.
That's horrible.
He's a bad
Conspiracy.
He's a
conspiracy,
bad referee. Conspiracy.
He's real bad. Chris, yeah, Mark Minigrate.
Chris. Yeah. See, Chris Tagnon is the guy in the Herman Rodriguez fight, right? He's same ref.
Herman Rodriguez. Oh,
yeah, I think crap, so.
That trash. It's not like, yeah, the one, it's like the one of the worst referee decisions we've ever seen. He's the same ref, right? Yeah. All right.
I'm gonna say yeah.
I'll look this up before we slander him.
That dude can get a bag of granola and take a hike and not ref another fight.
He was also
sure. Thank you.
What was that? Trevin Jones. What was that fight? Like Trevin Jones and
Trevin Giles.
No, it was Trevin Jones and Christ.
What's this guy's name?
He
was really highly hyped up coming in, and it was kind of a nice moment for Jones because he got like a comeback win, but it was like totally screwed. kind of like the Ed Mike Rodriguez and Herman thing, where it's like it should never have come down to this comeback. Like he made it a really exciting fight. Like, put it that way. Chris Tyrone made it a really exciting fight, but I remember
Timur Valley. Yeah. Okay, yeah,
Trevin Jones, and that fight was overturned now for other reasons, but it was. That was a total mess. That was officiated. And I mean, that was two. I don't know if that's the same night as Ed Herman, Mike Rodriguez. But yes, by the way, yes, Tyone did do the Ed Herman, Mike Rodriguez fight. So I don't know if that was that same night. But there was a stretch of Apex cards where Tyone's name just kept popping up and not for good reasons. So yes, we're happy to criticize Chris Tyone on this show.
He also refed the Hannah Cyphers Mallory Martin fight, where Hannah Cyphers had Mallory Martin like badly hurt. Everyone expected the fight to be stopped. He didn't stop it, and then Mallory Martin came back and got the finish in the next round or in the third round. And Tyone was like praised for that performance. It's amazing what like Chris Tyone from a week to week basis looks like. It's wild, absolutely insane. He sucks.
I had a friend over here watching some of the early fights. And she was asking, like, the first fight with Chris Tyone, the Sergey fight, is like, why is this fight still going? And I was just like, I don't know. I don't know. Because then the other fights would stop real quick. I was like, I don't know. That's how the sport is. I don't know. Sometimes we let him die. Sometimes, you know, I'm done. Let's go to the next fight. It's weird.
That was a bad one.
Okay.
Yeah, anything else?
I think we're
good. Do better, Chris Tyone. And Herb Dean, yeah. Do better, please. Man, this has just been a mess. Some of these stoppages recently.
Mark Smith is now the gold standard.
Is this true, or is this someone pulling my chain?
Blue corner clean sweep tonight. No one else is talking about this.
I can't be right.
I would have no way of verifying this right now. If I'm being perfectly honest with you,
Derek. Let me see. No, Phil Haas was. He wasn't blue corner, or was he? No, he wasn't.
This might be fake news.
Yeah, I think it's fake news.
I don't know.
You don't. I feel like I would have. We would have seen that. All right. I think it's time for the music.
All right. Well, I want to. We're back next week.
Do you have something else? No, good.
Right. Fun card next week, by the way. UFC Vegas 20, headlined by Jarzynia Rozenstrike versus Ciryl Gane. Co-main event, Nikita Krylov versus Magomed Ankalaev. That is a banger. We got Montana De La Rosa versus Mayra Bueno Silva, Pedro Munoz, Jimmy Rivera, Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder, the rematch. And by the way, both of those ladies found out about that fight this morning and both said yes. Gangsters, both of those ladies. Kevin Kroom. Got AK?
I was gonna say, go ahead, finish. I'll have a closing line for us, Mike. Go ahead.
Yes, Alex Hernandez versus Thiago Moises on this card. Randy Brown, Alex Oliveira, Alexis Davis, Sabina Mazo, Alonzo Menafield versus William Knight, Hione Barcelos versus Marcelo Rojo, Ronnie Lawrence versus Vince Cotero, Dustin Jacoby back as well. He takes on Maxim Grishin. So that should be a fun card. A lot of finishes I see coming up next week in some good fights. AK, send us on out of here with the pooch waving us off.
I don't want just a pooch wave. I need to see a dog kiss. I think we've talked so much about dog kiss. Can we see a Chris dog kiss here? Or Kyle dog kiss. Whatever your style of dog kiss is, there we go. Kyle dog kiss, Chris dog kiss, whichever it is. There we go.
right.
Lovely.
There you go. There's the music once again. Well, thank you for watching, everybody, and hope you guys enjoyed the card. It was fun. Lots of great stuff coming up this week on MMA Fighting. What the Heck is a good lineup. Even after What the Heck, we got a big guest lined up. So stay tuned for that. Subscribe to the page if you haven't done so already. For AK, Jose, for E. Casey Dukakis, I am Mike Heck. Good night, everybody.
Happy birthday, AK.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Support for this show comes from Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. With Splunk, you get more control with unified security and observability, so you can sidestep those disruptions. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast, so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. Some of the world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. Splunk lets you react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.